Oh, beep, beep, me phone went. Beep, beep, me phone went, it
beep,
said.
Beep, beep, your phone went?
Beep, beep, my phone went. I've got a message. Let me just check me phone. Beep, beep, me phone went.
Oh, my God. That's the least convincing beep, beep, me phone went moment of all time.
You know
time.
What? I'm going to program that into my phone now.
Beep, so beep, me phone went.
So when it does go off, it does go beep, beep, me phone went.
Me all phone right. went.
Beep, beep, me phone went. Beep, beep, beefy phone went.
Beefy foam mint.
Beefy foam, beefy foam mint.
Mint.
Mint. Beefy foam mint.
Beep, beep, beefy foam mint.
Gannon's delicious dinners coming to you. Beefy foam mint flavoured slop. Right, no, I've got a message. Oh, what's this?
You've got a message, really? I thought that was some kind of joke you were doing.
No, beep, beep, me foam went. Here we go, beep, beep. Oh, what's this? Oh, it's from Mr. Posty. Oh, Mr. Posty's nearby. He's got a delivery for us. That's exciting, isn't it?
That's very exciting. What do you think it is?
Oh, I don't know. I can't wait. But he's around the corner.
Does he have to see us? Can't he just drop it off usually?
No, I've got a sign for it. So Mr. Posty's going to knock on my door any minute now.
Shh, that's you.
Yeah, got that. And then we're going to go. Right, okay.
And has then he said I'll what see, his name is?
Mr. Posty.
Yeah, but is it Ben Posty?
No,
or?
It's Mr. PPP Posty. P.
Triple P Posty.
Triple P Posty. It's Mr. Triple P Posty.
And they'll be here very soon, will
very
they?
Very soon.
And what are you expecting from them?
I don't know, but he's got a big package for me. I like it when he comes over with his big package and gives it to me in my hand, and then I have to sign for it.
Sometimes does he take his big passage, go round to the back door?
He sometimes has to put his big passage up my back passage. Yes, he sometimes has to put his big package up my back passage.
Thank you.
Yes.
Edit.
And I'll... Nah.
Does he come round... does he go round the dirty alley?
Yeah.
Go down the dirty alley round the back of the side of your house and then go to the back door, right up to the back door.
And he goes...
Nudging it.
And he goes, bit, bit, me... Feed me bone mint. Oh, I forgot what I said now. Oh, well.
No, it's me fanway.
Hello, me fanway.
Beep,
hello,
beep,
there.
Me fanway.
Beep, beep, me phone went. Anyway.
I'm pants wet.
Ding dong.
Oh,
I'll get the door because you have to be the fucking postman.
No, that's better. I can go and then I'm sort of loitering. Eli will be loitering around
the door.
No, he has
to come in. No,
I'll go. I'll tell you what, Paul. I'll go let the postie in.
Oh, he's gone. We've missed the package. We're too busy arguing.
Is he going to beep, beep, my phone went again?
Beep, beep. I can pick it up in 7 days' time, 8 miles away from here.
Let's do an ellipse then.
Yeah, ellipse. No, I did me lips. What? That's me lips.
To say you are an exhausting punsmith of the lowest grade would be a huge overstatement. Now,
5 days later, 8 miles away. Oh,
it was 7 days. You can't even hold on to one thing.
It's British Post. What do you expect?
British Post?
British Post. You've heard of it, the British postman.
Where are we then? Somewhere else.
Ding dong, the door's gone again. I've got
beep,
a re-delivery.
Beep, your dong's went.
Get the
your
door
dong...
quick. Get the door.
I'll go, right? Paul.
Ding dong.
I'll go get that and I'll
beep,
let...
Beep, beep, me phone went.
I'll lip...
Oh, he's gone. We've got to come back.
I'm just saying, he's... when he does come back...
3 years
when he does,
from now.
Paul, I'm just saying, when he does come back, right,
yeah.
I'll go let him in and then I'll go... I need to go do something else.
Ding dong.
For a minute.
Ding
okay?
dong. Ding dong.
Right.
Ding dong.
I'll go get that then.
Go get it, quick. He's off to get the front door now. Yeah, good, good, good. And he's off. He's out. Oh, is that Mr. Posty? Bring him in. Come in, Mr. Posty. Oh, hello, Mr. Posty. Nice to see you. You usually linger in my back passage. What brings you into the house of a haunted house on Harrow Hill?
Show me hands.
Hear me hands. I've got one, two hands.
Keep them still.
Let's keep them very still. They're a bit moist right now, Mr. Posty.
Don't say that.
What's wrong, Mr. Posty?
I've got your package.
Put it in my hand right now, Mr.
Well, I need to see your hands for longer.
Yeah, all right, here they go. Do you want to see the back as well?
Yes, but slowly turn them round.
Sorry,
slowly!
Here we go. Oh, they're shaking a little bit. I'm nervous.
I like that!
Oh,
right, are you ready
go.
For the package?
Yeah.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Now?
Put it in my hand, Mr. Posty.
What did I tell you to do for homework?
I shaved my back.
Tell me the 3 P's that make up my name. What's my full name?
Patrick, Peter, Popplepop.
Popple? That's right. Here's your fucking package.
Thank
I'm
you.
Out.
Oh, Eli.
Should I get him on my
yeah,
way?
Yeah, get him on the way out. Thank
keep
you, Mr.
Keep your
Posty.
Hands there, though.
Yeah, all right. They're out. All right, he's off. This is elaborate.
Thanks, mate. Yeah, cheers.
This is
yeah.
way too elaborate. Go on.
Oh, he had very hairy sort of mutton chops, didn't
yeah,
he? Very hairy mutton
thick
chops.
Mutton chops.
They were almost waxy.
He looks like a badger.
He looks
you know,
like a
badger.
Looks like a friendly badger, that bloke.
Well, he's not friendly.
No.
I mean, he looks,
what was he doing? Because I didn't want to interrupt. He seemed to be in some kind of very tense moment with him there.
He wanted to look at my hand slowly before he put his package in him.
Oh, yeah.
Anyway, I've got the package.
Yay!
Let's see what's in it. Cheap show time. Show. Away we go. So, from vinyl... Hello, by the way, hello. Welcome to Cheap Show. I'm Paul Gannon. That's
Eli Silverman.
It's
hi,
a
guys.
Podcast about cheap things in general. That's the gist of it. Come on board. You're going to have fun. Right. Vinyl de Paris. Test pressings, Mr. Silverman.
I love that they've put it on the box.
On the box. And it's from DHL delivered it. Economy Select. Oh, no. Economy Select. I thought that was French. It's just
now,
English.
This is our test pressing. And we're hoping there's two. At least two.
We're going to find out, aren't we?
Copies of the LP in here. Now, Paul, must have glued that, because when I send records for Rogan...
Yeah, your flatmate.
When he's away, I sometimes pack records for him. We have similar boxes to this, but I would be taping across where there is.
I think they must have glued it.
Yeah,
it looks glued. Anyway, I'm going to open it up. I don't really know what's in it. All I know is it's a test pressing of the Cheap Show album.
You might need to get your Stanley out.
No, I'm going to be careful with this.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. It just slips out there. I don't understand how they've done that.
I don't know. It's nice, though, isn't it?
It just opens. Was there no tape?
Oh, it's all separate. There's no tape on it.
So, I don't know.
Oh, look. No.
Does it even...
Oh. So there's no sleeve. It's just the records. And there's five of them.
Wow.
I was expecting the album itself.
These are just the pressings. It's not the test, liner notes and stuff.
No, and there's black stick labels.
There's nothing on the labels. Let's see. Oh, this is exciting.
This is kind of exciting because, I mean, I'm a bit underwhelmed that it's not the actual album with all the bits and bobs, but... I mean,
is this five of our 20 discs? Or
I don't know what these are. They're just test pressings.
These are for us. How many are there in total?
Five.
I've got three, I've got two.
And look, it's an album.
Can you see the track gaps?
Yeah, because I can see where the small ones are, or we've talked, or there's a tiny
track. Now, is there a difference? Is there the same amount of tracks on each side, or what's the breakdown? Do you remember?
Well, I'm...
Because I'm just trying to see, because there's nothing on the labels.
To say what side's A and B.
Oh, that looks really good.
It does, doesn't it?
That looks really good.
Yeah.
I can't see any imperfections.
No.
It looks evenly spaced.
Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
There's a nice luster to the grooves.
And Eli and I are going to be listening to this later on tonight on his nice sound system so we can listen for imperfections. Because basically, I need to listen to this and then reply back to them to say, yes, I am happy with the quality of these.
Can you see on the run-out groove?
Yeah.
They've etched...
What?
Some words. This is where... They've etched in.
VDP, I see on one.
Do you see cheap?
Oh, I've already got. Oh, yeah, I see cheap A. So cheap A and then cheap B on the other
side.
Yeah,
there you go. See?
Etched in.
Yeah.
Oh.
This is brilliant.
So what happens now? We've got five of them. I thought we were going to get one. One makes sense. Two, that's nice of them. I don't know what to do with five, though.
It's cool.
I tell you what, though.
Hang on to them.
We could.
Give them away.
How about this? At the live show in October 18th, we will give away one of these test pressings signed and with everyone from the live show signing.
Or we could do some kind of homemade cover for them.
Yeah, well, we could do something.
I'd quite like to do that.
How about we'll keep a pressing each and then we'll give the other three away.
With some kind of homemade cover involving our signatures.
Well, already I want to do a little 10-year birthday celebration package as a live present, show present. So maybe we'll give two out, test pressings away, signed and all that stuff, and then a third one will come with a package for the big prize.
I'm interested to know.
Prizes at the live show. Come and get it. Tickets on our website.
Please do come. We've just had an idea, haven't we, for what we're going to do, which is very good.
Thank you.
I wonder, though, how much they can change this if we do find something. And are we meant to check every single one of these discs from beginning to end? Do you see what I mean?
I wouldn't have thought every single
one. It must
be
identical, huh?
Well, yeah.
Maybe it's just because it's the minimum amount of material they need to use just
maybe.
To press one.
Yeah.
Five, you know what I mean?
Yeah, so that would make sense.
It's just not wasting it. Why waste it?
Yeah. But it's fun to have like these blank slate albums.
It makes you feel like you're in the record making biz, isn't it?
Yeah, it does. It's like cut and wheel and deal. I feel like Simon Fallow or whatever his name is.
Simon Fallow.
So that's exciting, isn't it?
No one knows who you're referring to.
I don't know who I'm referring to.
Simon Fallow.
It sounds like a record industry name, doesn't it? What's Simon Callow? Caro?
It's
Camo.
You've got Simon Callow and Simon Fuller.
Which is the actor?
Callow.
Callow. So Callow? Callow?
No, Simon Fuller was the...
Fuller Callow?
No. Beep, beep.
Beep, beep, me phone went.
Me fanwe.
Me fanwe.
Me fange.
Here we go. I was just waiting for him to find a way to Jocelyn.
Jocelyn the Fange.
Jocelyn, that's her name.
Jocelyn the Fange.
Jocelyn your Fange.
Oh, hello, I'm Jocelyn the Fange. I have a very wet, moist, juicy
This is what I like
sandwich.
About Eli. Most people,
oh, do you want to see my wet sandwich?
Most people play 6 degrees of Kevin Bacon. Eli plays 6 degrees of how I can talk about Fanny on the podcast.
2 degrees of Varge.
2 degrees of vagination.
Hello, I'm pushing the flange.
No.
Do you want to see my meat baguette?
Oh, God almighty.
It's full of mayo.
Right, lovely, lovely stuff, Mr. Silverman.
Oh, I'm a classy lady, I'll have you know.
Right, welcome to Cheap Show, the economy comedy podcast, where we go for the charity shops, bargain bins and powerlands of Great Britain. And that was just looking at our vinyl test pressings. And once we've checked them, we report back and then the vinyl start going out.
That's true. But exciting. I do want to say one thing.
One.
Like, imagine a vertical, vertical chicken sweet corn baguette.
Vertical chicken sweet corn baguette.
That's what I said.
So why? What am I imagining next after that? Shall I just skip to the part where you want me to say the word fanny out loud? Is that what you want?
No, I just...
Would you prefer the word clunge or axe wound? What would you prefer?
Don't like axe wound.
No?
No.
Fanny is fine, then.
Fanny's great.
Fanny. Quim? Do you like Quim, Mr. Silverman? Do you like Quim?
I also like Quim, yes.
Yes, and you're a big fan of Quim. I could say Quim and you'd be happy
like
with
wound.
That.
I don't like wound. The whole wound thing is quite misogynistic, isn't it?
Yes.
And yeah. Growler.
Yeah, oh no, I like Growler. I like Growler. Show us your hairy growler.
Is there an equivalent to like hairy axe wound for a penis that is also sort of a man-hating way of saying it? It doesn't seem to be. That springs to mind.
Other than like derogatory terms in general, like the last chicken in the shop, that kind of thing.
But then you're going to say it's a small one, aren't you?
Well, it could be just a saggy grey one. I mean, mine these days.
Are you getting grey pubes?
No, my pubes are robust and brown still.
So are mine.
And curly as
the
day.
Last to go or something.
Are they?
I don't know. No one teaches you this in school.
They don't teach you
about... They don't take you to man hair lessons.
We've said this before.
Hello, welcome to Man Hair 101. Right, you go 30, what comes out your nose?
Hair.
Yes, but what colour is it?
My daddy's is deep dark black.
Don't be looking at your daddy's. I've got the photies. Up.
Right, okay, well, you know what? Could have been a sketch there, but unfortunately...
I'm not ready or up to, or I don't have the talent for it. He loves it.
Honesty is the best policy on Cheap Show. Listen, let's crack on because we have got things to do. We've got a price of shite and we've got a Tales from the Shop Floor.
Brilliant.
Something we've not done before. So I tell you what, let's get right into that now. Me fan we. Yeah, right. It's time for Tales from the Shop Floor. Many years ago when we started this podcast, our plan was to get tales from people who worked in charity shops and the like.
Indeed, we did.
Because we did. Remember the guy who used to come in the pockets of duffel jackets in the charity shop?
I do. And I remember the fanny batter drenched sex toy in
a
sex shop.
That was a low
point.
There was
also someone who shat in the changing rooms, wasn't there?
Yeah. And then we got to the point where it was just like, you know, necrotic leg holes.
I mean,
and...
that is the, well, depending on how you look at it, the zenith or the nadir of the whole genre.
Yeah.
The necrotic leg wound.
Yeah.
What episode's that?
I don't care. And I don't wish to revisit those moments. All I'll say is that after that point, those stories became a kind of like sad, tragic stories of just like just
vulnerable people not being able to control their bodily functions in neglected parts of Britain, which isn't our vibe, everyone.
Saying that, here's this week's story. So this one, let me just double check they're right for me to read their name out. Ah, fuck it. I'll see what happens when we get to the end.
Okay.
I can edit it. Right, we've got a Tales from the Shop Floor. This is where people send us their stories of incidents that happened when they were working on the shop floor.
In and around retail or offices sometimes.
Yeah.
Work life. It could be called work life. Work life. That was so lame. I'm becoming a fucking... I've watched too much YouTube. You know that, Paul?
Yes, I know that.
I watch it all day long.
I know. It's trouble, isn't it?
Yeah.
You just absorb the internet.
It's doing my head in.
Absorb the internet. You should create more and put out into the world.
I did do some drawing.
Absorb.
I did work on a drawing
good.
The other day.
Good. I like to see your drawing. Keeps you out of trouble, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Good boy. Right. Hi, Paul and Eli.
Hello, person.
I haven't heard a Tales from the Shop Floor for a while, and I've been weighing up whether to share this one or not. Thankfully, the guy in the store has now passed away, so the awkwardness has finally been laid to rest. Now, on the basis of that opening gambit...
That's not strong. That's not putting my fears to rest, put it that way, Paul.
I can tell this story, now the pervert's dead.
Yeah. What about the pervert's relatives, if they are a pervert? Well, are they? Is that foreshadowing?
I don't know. Have you hung
a pervert lantern on the wall?
No, I haven't today, no.
Okay, but you have perused this pre...
I have, and I know where it's going.
Okay.
Are they
a pervert?
I'm reasonably reticent to do it, but at this point... I'm all in on the decadent 10th birthday vibe of the podcast.
Hit me with some filth.
And then in episode 451, we're going full Diet Zero Coke version with all the fun things you like taking out.
No swearing.
No swearing, no fannies, no clunge, no Mrs. Little Biscuits or something, I don't know. No characters.
Spunky Hammer.
No, we're just going to be talking about rational things like salt and sand.
Salt and sand. And material things.
Yeah.
Basic material categories.
Metals. We're going to call ourselves, you know, the Periodic Pod. That's what we're going to rebrand the Periodic Pod this week.
Lead,
gold.
I love it when he's trying to think of
things. I was going to say boron, but then I was like...
I think that is an element.
Yeah, but then I was wondering, have I just invented the word boron?
A boron is not a metal, though. I think it's a gas.
Right.
I think it's one of the noble gases.
Almost.
Come on. Come up with something for that.
Fanny farts. All right.
Well, that's when a queen queefs. It's a noble gas.
Oh, look, on the periodic table of farts, it's queef, QE.
When the queen queefs, it's noble gas that comes out.
I wrote past it.
What's the best that we've come up with in the last minute?
You've come up with?
No. What did you fucking say? Queef on the fucking... I'm angry!
You know, as Gazza once sang, fog on the slime is all mine, all mine. That actually doesn't make sense, does it?
No.
I've jumped like 18
gags
ahead.
Nothing you say makes sense.
Blob on the slime is all mine. Blob on your thighs is all mine, all mine. Blob on your thighs is all mine. Don't know what I'm doing. I hate my fucking life sometimes.
I have one more comment on this.
All right, we haven't even started this email.
One more comment. You said we could be the periodic...
Periodic pod.
We could be the heavy periodic pod.
Oh, God. You're right.
Heavy flow.
I was right.
Back to the guns!
Yeah, here we go.
Back to the flange!
Right. This is the most harrowing experience I've ever had in my working life, and it was weeks into my first job that wasn't a paper round. So here we go, strap in. It was the early 2000s, maybe around 2003, 2004, and I was volunteering at a charity shop in my small town.
It's a charity shop, I like that.
So at least we're back on that sure footing. I'd gotten into it for one reason, my grandmother. She had been supported by this very charity herself in her final years, and when she passed away, I wanted to do something that would give back in some way. Plus, it also gave me something to do during the summer holidays.
All good, all rational.
All good, all fine. Where does it drop off? The shop was one of those cluttered places filled with items piled high in every corner. It had a very strange charm to it, though. Dusty furniture, mismatched crockery, old books, and the inevitable mountain of VHS tapes that just gathered dust like a forgotten relic.
Not a bad piece of writing there. A nice little...
Very emotive.
Well, and also quite, efficiently...
Yeah.
Described.
Yeah.
This is a
succinct, but colourful.
I have to say, this letter is better written than a lot of we've received over the years.
Well, you shouldn't really judge them, because anyone who decides to write
I can't help it, Paul.
You should.
I'm a judge of writers.
Yeah, you are. And yet you write in wax crayon.
Shut up!
With your feet.
I do, with my feet! Yeah.
You do, because you're more nimble with your toes, aren't you, than your hands.
Oh, did you see my feet?
No, I don't want to see your socks. Oh, no, I do want to see your socks.
They're shin. You know those noodle brands?
Yeah, you got a noodle brand one. Yeah. Nice.
Right, these are very nice.
Cheap,
noodle-themed
socks.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
How much do you think I paid for these socks?
Fucking nothing, probably.
£2.
Yeah. Charity shop.
No.
Oh.
Brand new from a Korean deli grocer.
Oh, there you go. Now I've seen your socks.
I've also got the no-face ghost from Spirit Away on a similar pair.
Good. Can I get back to this now, rather than sock pod? Hang on. Next week on Sock Pod, sock suspenders. Oh, we get right racy.
I like pop socks.
Oh, we see. New spin off. Right, okay. So it was cluttered, blah, 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 blah. I was mostly tasked with sorting through donations, pricing things, and making sure nothing too valuable gets tossed in the wrong pile. It also gave me a chance to pick up some cool vinyl when it came in. You see, you're on the inside lane there. You're picking up the goodies.
That's always the dream. And good on you.
One afternoon, as I was rummaging through a box of old tat, a regular customer came in. He was always hanging around, popping in for a chat, dropping off random bits of junk. He's in his late 60s, recently retired, and clearly needed something to keep him occupied. He's a bit of a local oddball, known around town as a quote-unquote eccentric.
Yeah, okay. Got the picture there, yeah.
You know, now, the word eccentric can be bandied around for a lot of people, like, stay away from that eccentric, or I love hanging out with that eccentric.
You're this saying it's meaningless in a way.
Well, it's that old adage. It's what they say in, it's that quote from Speed. Dennis Hopper goes, poor people are mad, rich people are eccentric.
Right.
That's kind of the association.
I know what you're getting at, yeah.
So I'm thinking, what kind of eccentric is he? Let's find out.
The eccentric is the good way
of saying he's a scary madman.
He's crazy. Someone with mental health problems or something like that. Yeah.
Charmingly volatile is the phrase.
Vulnerable person who could be very violent. Or, let's face it, Paul, could shit everywhere. That's where it might be going. A lot of them do go poo-poo. A lot of them do go poo-poo.
Well,
can I just say it and put that... You can quote me on that. A lot of them do go poo-poo.
Can we have that on a T-shirt, anyone? Just Eli's face with the bubble coming out the top that says, only men go poo-poo.
And also
something.
In the back, it could have poo-poo come out of bumhole or something like that.
Yeah, do something clever like that, shall we? Or he could be the eccentric who just turns up with a kind of, you know, a big foam hat with, oh, here comes a Wally on it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Or you know, he wears googly-eyed glasses and goes, bobbly-bobbly, that kind of eccentric.
Yes.
The Timmy Mallet kind
of
eccentric.
I was just about to say, an image of Timmy Mallet appeared in my mind.
Yes. Here we go with the story.
A deeply religious man.
Right, here we go. Where are we? He handed me an old VHS player. An old 80s model, wood grain sides, and a top loader mechanism. Oh, I can see it now. Maybe with those piano keys, you know, the
I
ones
like that
clunk, click.
Yeah, but they have a nice heaviness to the action on those old ones with the top loaders.
Nice metal clunk, click kind of keys.
A real heavy feeling of really achieving a mechanical aim.
Mechanical action.
Oh.
Anyway, he says...
And the wood grain is what...
Is what sells it. Because everything was wood grain in the late 70s, early 80s.
Do you see what I mean about the writing, though? It's efficient, but also very evocative.
Yes. The item was probably much sought after now, but was worth almost nothing back then. Thought you might want this, he said, giving me a nod. Works fine, just needs to clear out some of the stuff I don't need. I took it, half-heartedly thanking him, trying to hide my confusion about why he thought anyone would want a bulky VHS player in the age of DVD.
Mm.
But, of course, we weren't going to turn away donations. I plugged the player in behind the counter and it whirred to life. And then I noticed a tape inside. Now, Eli, I'm going to ask you to put another gambit on at this point. Where does the story go?
Porn.
Now, you've said poo-poo. Now, this could still be poop. I mean, Gannon knows the secrets.
I don't think it's a video of someone shitting. That would be too much.
Might be a Little Richard thing or whatever it was. Was it Little Richard?
A scat.
Was it Chuck Berry? Chuck Berry.
It was both of them, let's be honest.
No, I don't know about if Little Richard did that.
I think
Robert De Niro.
There's a story of Little Richard as a child.
Robert De Niro's waiting under a glass table. Under a glass table.
There is a story about Little Richard earlier in his life.
Yes.
As a kid, a teenager, I believe, he would prank his aunts and stuff.
Right.
When they came out of church.
With poo-poo.
Giving them poo-poo in a box. And they'd go, Richard! You know what I mean? Scream at him.
Don't give us
He was fruity. Put it this way, he was fruity.
And
also, of course, Little Richard, one of the original rock and roll stars, but came in a time when being gay was...
Well, flamboyant full stop. You know what I mean?
Yes, but yeah, he was kind of gay.
It was tough to be a black rock and roll pianist and be taken seriously. However, if you were who sang Great Balls of Fire,
Jerry Lee Lewis,
you could just marry a 10-year-old or something.
You marry
a
10-year-old and murder up to 3 people.
Yeah, but that's all right. You know what I mean?
He
that's
was
all right.
Fucking evil.
Yeah,
Jerry Lee Lewis, like a murderer. They reckon, you know that.
Yes.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know
like
the full
for insurance
story.
Money. Christ. Like that kind of murderer, like down and dirty. Like,
well,
anyway.
Well, I mean, all allegedly, because I don't
alleged.
Know the facts, and I can't speak from where Eli's pulling his sources
but
from.
Little Richard, I mean, you know, Jerry Lee Lewis had some excellent early performances and obviously some great live energy, but he wasn't anything compared to Little Richard.
No.
As a singer, a performer, or just being one of the greats of all time.
Greatest. A goat, I think the kids would say.
A goat. But Chuck Berry got videos of women shitting shipped round to his fucking flat in a truck, apparently.
Yeah. Puts a new meaning to what you thought My Ding Ling was about, wasn't
it's
it?
It's not.
Might have been a dirty, hairy clagnut dangling out.
It definitely was,
you know,
a clagnut.
Wiggle, wiggle, plip, plip, plop. Beep, beep, me phone went.
Everyone thinks My Ding Ling refers to his little winky, but...
No, it's not.
It's a fucking massive clagnut.
Hanging off his hairy arsehole.
Which is fucking so dry and old that it rings like a bell.
My Ding Ling, My Ding Ling. You know how that goes. Right, okay, so...
You don't.
I just don't want to sing that song. Anyway, going from scat vids to see what we've got here. So
I think it's going to go porn now.
Okay.
Homemade porn.
Okay.
That's my guess now, okay?
Then I noticed a tape inside. I ejected the tape, the top loader clunked open, and it had a label written on in neat handwriting, One Man and His Dog.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
It might just be the BBC show.
We finally got there, Paul. We finally got to
Now, my mind immediately went to that classic BBC show with the sheepdog trials. I used to watch it all the time with my grandparents. They'd sit on the couch laughing at the dog's antics, and my grandma would always cheer for the underdog, no pun intended. I thought it'd be quite nice to keep the tape. Maybe it was a recording of the show.
I used to enjoy that show as well. It's great. Something uniquely British and like a brilliant thing.
Come on, boy. Come on, boy.
I just love it. Come on. Don't you think that's great TV?
You know when people say, oh, you can't do that on TV anymore? It's like, no, no, no. What you can't do on TV anymore is dedicate half an hour to a man shouting at a dog in a field.
I think it was an hour long, that show.
Fucking hell.
It was so Sunday afternoon.
Come on, you. Come on, you. Come on.
You know, but if the alternative...
Come on. Benson! Whatever. I don't know.
No. But if the alternative is what? Songs of Praise or like, you
Highway.
Know, I'd much prefer to watch the dogs running about. You know what I mean?
Fair enough, Eli.
Wouldn't you?
Yeah.
I used to really enjoy it in a sort of, it's like ambient television.
You know what it's like? It's like Antiques Roadshow. You don't really care about it, but you watch it for the kind of mechanics of it.
Yes, but it's got an ambient, it has a vibe.
It's got vibe.
A relaxing vibe to it.
What was like, the theme tune? The stakes aren't high. One Man and you know what, doesn't fucking
I don't
matter.
I think it was a classical thing.
Maybe. Mm. Right, anyway, so.
I'm going to guess now, Paul.
Yeah?
It wasn't the BBC TV
well,
show.
Well, aren't
that
you
was
a
on the
cynical,
video?
Cynical man? I hit play and the screen flickered to life.
Where did he have the monitor, I'm wondering?
I don't know. Maybe it's a security system or an old VHS he hooked up to a TV on the shelf. You know what I mean?
You'd need a CRT to play one of those.
Yes.
Though, don't you?
Well, no, it doesn't need to be a CRT, but you do need to have the right connection to a monitor. Anyway.
This is back in the early 2000s, though, anyway,
yeah.
Isn't it?
Yeah. So there's probably more CRTs banging around.
Definitely were.
Most VHSs had SCART plugins and stuff,
right.
So yeah, it's
okay.
Fine. I hit play and the screen flickered to life. At first, it looked like an old home movie. There was a man, probably in his mid-30s, with a large golden retriever by his side. The man was talking to the dog in a way that felt off, kind of over-familiar. But I didn't stop the tape, thinking it might be one of those quirky old home videos people donate. And then the scene changed. Now, I want to know how talking to a dog overly familiar would be. I don't know. What do you say to a dog that's overly familiar?
Rover.
Yeah?
You know I love you. No, you're the dog. You don't say yeah.
Roff?
You know
yeah,
I love you.
Rawr.
Now, I'd noticed there were, when you went to the toilet the other day, there were pieces of uncleanness all around the holes. Now, you know I love, that's maybe over familiar. It's really actually, I'm disgusting myself with this. I don't want to keep doing this character. I'm going. Oh, don't do it!
Right, hang on. Let's see where this is going.
That was really awful.
Then the scene changed. Then it hit me. This wasn't One Man and His Dog. This was something much weirder. The camera panned and the man began to talk in a soft voice, directing the dogs to do things I really, really did not need to witness. I can't even describe it without feeling uncomfortable. Let's just say this was one of those things that once seen could never be unseen. I panicked. My heart started racing and my hands were shaking and my knees are weak.
Great balls of fire.
Oh, yeah. So, I mean, you know,
hairballs of fire.
He very delicately told us everything we needed to know without describing everything he needed to know.
Dog sex for hire.
Dog sex for lower. Whatever it takes.
Mifanwe!
Yeah, that was the name of the dog was called. Mifanwe. I don't know. I don't know.
Oh man.
Oh dear.
What was it? What do you think it was? Dog licking ice cream off
it
a
could
knob
have been anything.
Like
it could have been, yeah, Oreos. You like your marabone jelly, don't you? Like, just put a little blob of it right on the end of old Tadjadoo, you know. Well, I hope it is something nicer than, you know. Eli's not happy with this. Good. I yanked the tape out of the player, pressed it to the ground and stamped on it.
Wow.
I kept stamping harder and harder and harder until it shattered into 100 pieces.
It must have been something really bad.
Yeah, this feels like he took place.
Probably worse than a spot of chum on a knob end.
Honestly, it looks
a bit worse than that, we're thinking.
It looks like our author had like a one-man edition of Best of the Worst all by himself.
Wow.
I think I was trying to crush the memory as much as the tape itself.
Yeah.
There was a thud, a clatter of plastic, and a sharp crack. The noise echoed through the back room. It was so loud that my workmate, who was sorting books on the other side of the shop, came running in. "What the hell was that?" she asked. I froze. I couldn't look at her. I couldn't look at anyone. In a panic, I blurted, I accidentally stood on it. The tape, it slipped out, and I tripped, and my penis is out, and it's all covered in sticky white ghost goo.
Yeah.
Ghost licked my willy, and it's all sticky. Sorry. She raised an eyebrow, but didn't press further. Maybe she thought it was just another one of my clumsy moments, but inside I was mortified. The tape was gone, but the image of what I'd seen still haunted me. A couple of weeks later, the man came back into the shop, as he often did. His awkward smile, his familiar cap, and his voice saying, "Got anything new for me?" But I couldn't look him in the eye. I couldn't even glance his way. I knew that I had obliterated a piece of his life, something so private, so strange, and I had no idea how to deal with it. To make matters worse, his grandson went to the school with me. I had to see that guy every day and pretend everything was fine, even though I knew his grandfather had donated something far more personal than I could ever have imagined. Wow. Dave.
Well, Dave, thanks for sharing.
Now, it's disturbing. I don't think the man who gave the tape was in the video. I think it was just like maybe he got it off a guy who could sell him tapes.
Why would the man who donated the thing not think to check the tape?
Because some people don't think. I don't know. It is strange to go, I'm going to donate this VHS player. I best check my dog fuck tape isn't in it,
you know,
before I drop it off. But remember, we got that stack of fucking porn
DVDs. That was porn, though. That wasn't
homemade dog material. No, but they were hidden behind action movies of the 80s and 90s. So it was donated. The charity shop went, Under Siege, whatever.
Do you still have those?
No, I smashed them into the ground over and over. No, I just threw them out.
Oh.
Well, you didn't even like them.
I didn't.
You wanted that one, didn't you? How much is that doggy in the window? That's the one you wanted. Yeah. And what's the other one you wanted? The Breech Boys Pet Sounds.
The Breech Boys Pet Sounds.
Yeah. I don't know what that was about. That sounded disgusting.
That's too soon.
I'm picking
Brian
up
Wilson
good vibrations.
Only died the other day.
Yeah. Because he made dog
because,
porn.
Yes, he made dog porn.
Brian Wilson, dog porn enthusiast. I've said it out loud. I can't take it back
the Pet
now.
Pet Shop Boys.
Yeah, lots of animals.
The Dog Beach Boys. Dog Park Boys.
Oh, and Paula Abdul's Opposites Attract, where she fucks a cat.
Is it a cat? Is it more like a fox?
No,
isn't
it's
it?
A cat. It's a cat. I can establish that was, it's a cat.
That was on MTV a lot, that video.
It was, yeah. Two steps forward, two steps back. We come together because...
Opposites Attract.
And that's why that man fucked a dog. Because he was watching Paula Abdul. I went, I don't want a cartoon cat. I would like a real Labrador. That's it. The story's over now. So, Dave, thank you very much for that. That was a wonderful story. It took us back to our cheap show roots.
Well written, Dave.
Very well written. And if you've got any stories of people having sex with animals, please do not send any more. We've had our fill on this podcast.
Well, it was part of the story. It was a charity shop, it was an old tat, there was very much a sort of cheap show theme.
How do you rank it?
In very ways.
Like on grossness, how do you rank it? Is it below?
Well, it didn't actually want to say what actually happened in the video.
Or, you know, is it above
Fanny
in a box?
I don't know how bad the video was.
No.
And I understand him not wanting to write that down.
I tell you what, though, I bet it was rough.
It was rough.
Rough, rough. Yeah. Yeah, rough. And that's how I'm signing off this awkward segment of the podcast.
Okay, I'll go with that.
We're going to have to, because that's all we fucking got.
And the question on everyone's mind today, here in the House of Pain and Harrow, is will Silverman continue his unprecedented run of great form in The Price of Shite?
He's on a hot streak!
I'm on a super hot streak, and everyone's wondering, can I keep it going? The betwings are stacking up. Can I keep the betwings flowing? I'm not going to have a crisis, because I'm going to guess what The Price of Shite is.
No. Oh, I'm not going to have a crisis, because I'm going to correctly guess the prices.
Yeah, but also mine scanned better.
No, mine scanned better.
I'm not going to have a crisis because I'm going to guess what the price of shite is.
No, there's too many
syllables
towards the end.
No, there's a little flourish there.
I'm not going to have a crisis because I'm correctly guessing the prices.
No, the correctly guessing is completely out of rhythm.
Well, I'm right and you're wrong because you know nothing. ever.
Don't have a crisis. I'm going to guess exactly what the price of shite is.
Don't have a crisis. The price of shite's prices are nicest.
You know what the nicest price is?
Oh, see, just get into it. Let's just get into it.
Where's me fan we beep beep?
It's the fucking price of shite. It's the fucking price of shite.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
The fucking price of shite. Oh, it's that fucking price of shite.
And that's right.
And that's right. It's the part of the show where we guess the prices of the shite things you give to us in charity shops. And we've had a P.O. box sent to us with a letter and items for us to play. However, while I scrubbage in my box, can Eli please describe the point system of which we dally out the petwings? The point system of this game, the price of shite. Thank you.
Yes, hello everyone. Here I am. I'm here to tell you about what the system is we use vis-a-vis point awarding in the price of shite is. Now...
They've done a scorecard.
They've done a scorecard. No need for paper.
Oh, well, I've got one anyway. Anyway, go on.
Well, we will guess the price of items. How many items are we looking at today, Paul? Do you know?
One, two, three, four, five. There's six.
That's a nice number for items to have.
Yeah, and I don't know if there's any other gambits involved in this, so now, we'll find out soon.
Okay, we're just going to say what the preliminary base foundational rules are, and then there may be other rules after this. We will guess the price each.
Price.
In turn, we will guess the price of each item.
In turn.
If, at the end of the day, it turns out that we guessed the price exactly right.
On the nose.
You get two betwings for
two
that.
Two betwings. You say £1, it is one. Oh, no.
Yeah, don't say
no,
that.
No, I've just realized.
£1.50.
You say £1.50, it is £1.50, you've got two betwings.
Betwing, betwing.
Betwing, betwing. However, what would happen if I was, I don't know, close, but not really on the right price?
Well, there'd be a specific amount of closeness either above or below the price that we'd have to be within that band.
And how specific would that be?
It would be specific to 25 pence, either above or below the actual price of the price of shite item.
So let's just say I said £5, but it was £5.25. Let's just say I said £5.25.
And it was actually £5?
Yeah.
Because you are within the 25p between range, let's call it that, you score. One between.
I have to also back this up with another. What if it was £5, but I'd said £4.75? Would that still be allowed a between?
Yes, you would be below the actual price of the price of shite item, and therefore within the 50p wide band, straddling the actual price.
Right.
If you can imagine it like
if
that.
If I can imagine that, like a kind of stretched band.
A stretched band around the actual price,
yes.
The real price.
A kind of...
And because you'd be below...
A fenced off area.
If you've been below by anything up to 25p, you would also, in that case... get one between.
And that's the same as if I guess maybe £4.19 is £5.
Yes, all of those
£5.15,
yes,
I'd still
that,
be allowed.
That as well.
I'm just clearing things up for the
audience
so
they're
not
confused.
Well,
let's just go all the way down then. In your example, we've got £5.25. How many betwings?
Two.
No.
One betwing.
Thank you. £5.24.
Eight betwings.
One betwing.
One betwing.
These are like guesses, right?
Right,
£5.23.
Letter.
£5.23, how many betwings?
Acceptable, one betwing.
£5.22.
We get it.
£5.20.
We all get it now. We've all gotten it.
£5.20.
Now, here we
£5.19.
Let's read the letter.
Sorry.
This is from Andy. Thank you, Andy.
Hello, Andy.
And they've sent a P.O. box in with some items, and here's the letter that goes...
I can see their handwriting. It looks
very nice.
It's shining through there.
Very nice.
Are you going to be able to read that?
I am.
Is it legible?
Yes, it is as legible as it can be.
It's very neat and
nice. With nice cursive writing.
Let's have a little look.
Go on.
Nice bit of cursive.
Dear Team Cheap Show, short-time listener, long-time Barshins fan who finally got round to giving the show a listen. Oh, it's only taken you a decade, dickhead. Ah, fuck you, Andy.
No, come on.
Off.
Give Andy a second chance.
I'm going to get my knob out and kill this podcast right now because of Andy or Dave. Your letter was bad. How dare you both ruin this show?
Dave's letter was well written.
Yeah, it was well written. This one's well written, maybe.
I bet it isn't.
I've just been to visit...
Sorry, Andy.
I've just been to visit my in-laws in the States. Oh, and in between family events and hiding from ICE kidnap squads, I've had enough time in a charity shop equivalent to acquire some items for a round of price of shite. Or, because it's American, cost of crud.
The cost of crud.
Well remembered, Mr. Andy. You're back in my good books. Enclosed are six items picked accordingly to the Watford High Street scheme. Oh, I see. Book, game, toy, kitchenware, trinket, party album. Oh, when we did the Tat Hunt.
That's
episode.
A nice little reference, bum-licking reference to another episode.
Nice. You're greasing yourself up my pole a bit more. Although I had to diverge on the latter due to a lack of party albums. Oh, okay, fair enough. The madness of entrusting vinyl to a checked bag and the obvious reference in what I found. I wonder what that means.
Is that the end of the letter?
No. Tweaks and hints. All items are from the same shop in rural Oregon, card included. It's from a place called... Well, you can read it out.
Let's have a little look at this. So it's not a charity shop. It's a resale shop.
Yeah.
Or thrift, they call it a lot, or...
Goodwill.
Goodwill is a particular
charity
thing.
Oh, okay. All right, okay.
They're not a charity. Goodwill are... They're like a religious organisation.
Oh, like the
Salvation Army.
Yeah, okay. Ooh.
So I'm not sure they're a charity, and they do employ people, but they... Anyway,
that's from what...
You know, it doesn't
work
like it does over here with charity shops, but this is a resale shop, so it's a second-hand store,
okay,
basically.
Okay, fine. Right, so I spent between $10 and $15...
Red Lizard resale.
No metagaming, smiley emoji.
Oh, this is what they got there.
Oh, go on.
Tools.
Yeah.
Sporting equipment.
Great.
Resale clothing, chemicals, camping.
Nice.
Collectibles.
Oh.
DVDs. Kitchen goods, board games.
Oh, there you go.
They're on the card, mate.
They're on the
board
card.
Games. I want to go there.
Well, we can't because it's in
Oregon. I really want to go there.
Well, we can't.
Craft supplies, yeah? Some Play-Doh.
Right.
Or plasticine.
Right.
Gardening supplies. A trowel.
Good. Right, let's move on.
Et cetera.
I love
that. Can you think of anything else that could go there in Red Lizard?
Haberdashery. Shut up. Right, so no more than between $10 and $15 was spent.
Okay.
One of the items was precisely £1, so the quid's gambit, or as they've put it, the Washington wager is in play.
Nice.
Andy, my poll is getting harder and more greased.
I think it's fully greased. Now,
wait.
We need to explain the Queen's Gambit.
Wait, we'll go back to that.
The quid's gambit.
When you're done, the game seems to be in the same vein as Mindbenders, so it might be fun to play through if you want to upset Eli. They're one of the things as a game, that's fine.
Okay.
Have fun, don't tell each other you hate each other too much. Love from the benign hell pits of Uxbridge, Andy.
Thank you, Andy. This is looks like a lot of fun.
And which literally, the quid's gambit is this. If there is an item that we know to be a pound, but we don't know which one, you can play that quid's gambit. That allows you to put £1 on a specific item, and no other item must be given a pound. That is that rule.
And
it's been sorted.
Paul?
And you'll get 4 per twings.
This is
two for being spot on, and 2 for the quid's gambit bonus.
Yes, so 4 per twings if you get that right.
The
now,
answers
Paul,
are here.
Why is it called the Washington wager?
Because Washington is on the dollar, isn't it?
That's right.
Thank you very much. He is the president of that dollar. And these are the answers in a sealed envelope. Eli can attest that I have not
opened
them.
Lovely bit of sealing, Andy. This is a nice. The answers, it says, clearly.
Lovely textbook.
In the same cursive. So
lovely.
We know. We can suspect that the same person wrote the letter.
So I'm going to put
these little details.
I'm going to give it to Grumpy Fibbage now to
He's
look
not
after.
Called Grumpy Fibbage. I keep calling him Grumpy Fibbage
Mulchy
as well.
Mulchy Fibbage.
Thank you.
I'm going to give it to Mulchy
Fibbage. Mulchy Fibbage.
He's looking after.
He's up there. He's on high, looking after the answers there. And as we know, Paul, you for cheap clickbait reasons, you cheated. The second to last time we played this.
I can't cheat this time, can I? I don't look at the rules or the sport at all.
Well, you're writing the rules down.
But I will find a way to cheat this week. How will Paul cheat? I don't even know yet. And that's the thrill of this week's edition.
Paul, I just have to say, on that one where you cheated, not only did I get the quid's gambit, I got the extra special rule, I got everything. And I scored, I must have scored about fucking 18 between
maybe,
the last three
but however,
games.
They're not legible because as I have edit, they are what they are in the final edit of the podcast and they are the final score. So, once again, I've done you proper. Let's get into the game.
All right.
Right, so because Andy's done a list, I'm just going to go by the list order.
Well, he's done his own scorecard for us there, is that right?
Right.
Nicely put together, bespoke Price of Shite here, Andy.
Is that it?
And thanks for joining Cheap Show from being a Barshans fan.
Yeah, I don't know. All right, you know what? I think it's
this one. I'll let you open it.
Is this item number one?
This is item number one. I'll let you open it before I describe what Andy has called it.
It's wrapped in bubble wrap quite nicely.
Sealed.
It's looked to... Looks to me like some kind of receptacle of some sort.
Oh, yeah, hand receptacle. Could be any of them. It's probably a receptacle, though, isn't it?
It's a receptacle because it has a handle.
Yeah.
And it's in a sort of khaki and yellow browny plastic. And it's emerging from the bubble wrap as I speak.
Yeah, he's pulling it out of its...
I hope I haven't broken it because it's come into two pieces.
It's coming into pieces.
It looks like it's meant to do that.
I think it's meant to be separated, yes.
And now I'm just trying to get what appears to be a headpiece out of the last piece of packaging.
It does seem to be some kind of animal head from this perspective. Oh,
it's a cow, a moo cow.
It's a moo cow head. But what? I don't... What
it's
is it?
Some kind of...
Wait, so the moo cow goes on the top of the mug?
Okay, this is sort of a mug thing. It's a conical mug thing that narrows, and then the moo cow head goes on, and the moo cow mouth is different red plastic and is slot-like.
Yeah.
Or, or pouring...
What's it say?
It's for pouring milk out of the cow's head.
What's it say on the front exactly?
I must possess this and put it on shelf.
What does it say exactly on the front?
It says Moo Cow Creamer.
No, it doesn't.
Moo Cow Creamer.
Oh, it does then. I just thought, okay, I thought it said Moo Moo. I thought it said Moo Moo Creamer. I just would have thought it was. I thought it said Moo Moo Creamer. Which I
is better, is much better. Moo Moo,
darling,
Creamer.
Would you like to meet the Moo Moo Creamer? How about that, love? Yeah. Or, hello, darling, would you like to suck on my Moo Moo Creamers?
Yes, that would be it. Yes.
So now I have equal opportunities, smut.
Okay.
Willy and tits. We cover all the bases.
Yes, they both produce the cream.
Yeah, they do.
One more metaphorical than the other.
Man fat
and
lady creme. something like that.
That's a good superhero duo.
Man fat and lady creme.
To the rescue. Anyway, this is quite charming.
It
very
is.
Plasticky.
Very 70s, very kind of beige,
so,
khaki, yeah.
You take the cow's head off, you put the cream in the bottom bit,
yeah.
Put the cow's head on, and then you can dose your coffee.
Yeah.
Basically.
You probably keep it in the fridge as well, keep it cool in the creamer.
It's a novelty kind of item. Let's see if it has anything written on the bottom.
Yeah. What am I involved?
Okay. It says Whipley Industries Incorporated.
Whipley?
Yeah.
Oh.
With an H. Whipley.
As in like whipping cream.
That's
what I was thinking, yeah.
Warren, Pennsylvania, Penner, it says. I don't know. Is
I don't
that
know what that means.
NSA, patents pending.
Well,
it's always patents pending. No one ever gives these a pendant.
No.
The guy in the pendant office is like, well,
no.
We've got fucking today. We've got a
patent
new
office.
Defibrillator
No, it's
thing.
A patent office, not a pendant office. Where you go and get a fucking necklace?
Patent office,
yeah.
I'd say.
You were saying, no, you were saying pendant.
A pendant office.
Yeah, where
that's
everyone
like
gets a necklace.
You get a medallion.
With your mummy's hair in a lock or something. Yeah, something like that.
No, but I'm just saying, you can see why they never get the pendant.
You fucked it.
The patents for this, because there's better things to do.
Pendant pending. That's what you're getting confused about.
A pendulous pendant.
My pendulant is pending, yeah. Right, but how much, Eli, do you think the Moo Moo Creamer is?
Oh, now we do have a window.
Oh, bound for Moo Cow Creamer.
We do have a window here for all six items.
We do.
It's quite a broad window.
Between $10 and $15. Yeah, it's $10 and $15.
I know, but I don't know why 11 came in there.
Why? Well, why not? Everyone forgets about the number 11, and I'm here to say
no one
11
does.
is just as valid as any other bloody number you count. Remember 11.
Don't call me a count.
I'll
anyway.
Call you anything. How much?
Am I going first on
you
this?
You are
one
now. Then? I've decided. I put my foot down.
These are dollars.
Yeah, dollar, dollar. Come on.
$4.
Oh, so
$3.95.
$3.95.
I'm saying that's where my last answer.
All right,
$3.95,
Eli say. I'm going to go ahead and say $3 on the nose.
Okay, $3 on the nose.
Yeah, I'm going to go with that, but I'm going to put pound down. Right, next item. It's a CD. Eli, explain the CD.
He's handed the CD. It says Platters, all-time greatest hits. Now, the Platters, early R&B act.
Yeah.
What's their most famous?
The Platters.
You think?
Lollipop.
The Great Pretender.
Oh, yeah, I'm the greatest pretender.
They're sort of like a...
Ooh, ooh, that one.
Very famous black group, just before and through the earliest rock and roll era.
Okay.
Mid-50s, I'd say.
Straddling that period.
Yes, and that's a huge number. There's other things. My Prayer, I think that's quite big. Heaven on Earth. It's sort of doo-woppy.
Yeah.
There you see their records absolutely everywhere.
Do you?
Miles, yeah.
I think it's funny
Best
that we've been
platters.
Given a platter on a CD.
Well, it's still a sort of small platter.
It is a tiny wee platter,
In
isn't
fact,
it?
It's a mini platter.
It's a platette.
Yes.
So what else did they do? I want to have a look at their songs. So, there's Four Men. They've got Only You. Only you
can make this change in me.
Right. Yeah. That one. You've Got the Magic Touch. I don't know that one. On My Word of Honor, One in a Million. He's Mine. My Dream. Smoke Gets in Your Eyes.
That's
popular
famous
one, isn't it?
I think the Ink Spots did the first famous version of that one.
Okay. So, yeah, so they're not unfamiliar to our overall music of the era.
It's that funny early sort of rock and roll, which isn't very rocky, but is because it's for that
more
era.
Ballady. You know what it reminds
very
me
much
of?
Ballady.
It's like, you know, the end of Back to the Future with the Enchantment Under the Sea dance and they have that band on. And they're playing those kind of standards until until Little White Marty McFly invents rock and roll.
Yeah, which is very questionable, isn't it?
It is, but only because of the benefit of all this hindsight and discussion we've had since. At the time, it's a cute joke is what it is. You know what I mean?
Yes.
Anyway, I'm going to guess first on the Platters CDs. Now, Platters in America, CDs, it's weird because when we went to charity shops, everything was fucking overpriced.
But that's because it was LA.
That's LA, yeah.
And that was not, I'm telling you, that was not typical of charity shops, or at least the ones that I see in Florida. Yeah. South Florida, very different place.
I'm going to go ahead and say that this is $2. And I'm writing.
You've seen all the items, so you're saving your Washington's wager for a later item.
I forgot about that. Sorry. I would still commit to that. Go on, how much?
Anyway, we get a chance to revise these.
You could amend, yeah.
I'm going to put my Washington wager on this and say it was a buck.
I'm going to do Washington wager, WW, and then that's it. So we're going on to our next one now. Let's find out what the next item is on the Price of Shite, please. Yes, sir.
Okay, please. Yes, sir.
I really hope the microphone picked up your tummy then.
You could hear it on the...
Yeah. I heard it. I didn't hear it from my headphones, but I heard it in real life. And it was a real grumbly wumbles.
Well, I had a noodle today. Do you know what? I had a new Nong Shim stir-fried style one. Creamy and spicy, it's called. Creamy. Called Tubu or something. Everyone, do you know what the big trend in noodles is at the moment, Paul? The cheesy, creamy ones, the carbonara.
Really?
It's everything. Spicy, cheesy, creamy carbonara, creamy this,
I think
creamy
we've set
spicy.
A trend. I think we're the cream trendsetters.
I mean, a lot of people do say.
We are the trendsetters.
You know what I am? A cream snail trail layer.
No, I'm just putting my arm on the arm on the elbow on the arm of this chair, just resting my head on my chin as I invite Eli to go further with that idea. Go on,
I spike on the ground in a big line, and then people can find me behind the bins.
Come,
I just go behind the bins. Did you see my cum?
Oh, it's Eli's little sticky breadcrumbs. Is it?
Have you seen it?
Yeah,
it's my breadcrumb trail of sticky cum bits.
Like a one-man filthy Hansel and Gretel, aren't you? Dirty boy.
Anyway, I think we did that.
Yeah,
justice.
I'm still pondering over it.
Oh, that looks good. This is the game.
No, it's not. We've done this before. Remember when we won Bartians and we did that fucking Mind Benders? This is the same, but it's Mind Trap, and it's called Mind Trap 2, which looks to the eye the exact same fucking thing as Mind Trap, which is a collection of cards, thousands of them, with mind bending puzzles.
They're puzzle cards.
Yeah. I'm going to pull some
Can
out.
Can I see it, though?
Oh, it's got a board, though, this one. I don't remember the other one having a little board with it.
But it's a different game. That was called Mind Benders. This is called Mind Trap.
No, but Mind Trap itself also is the exact same thing.
Right.
But this one comes with a little board.
Oh, that's a very nice item, really.
Nice, kind of isometric, kind of cuboid pathway thing. Fucking hell.
Is it like a 3D?
Yeah.
It looked. You know what that looks like? It looks like a Rubik's snake.
Yes. Yeah.
Plasticky.
So I guess you move around the board answering these cards. I'm going to... Oh, there's loads of different types. I'm going to pull out this little batch. Right.
I like the 80s heavy metal horror film font. It's like chromey, airbrushy.
It's also like the atmosphere, design. The board game atmosphere. Yeah. It's that vibe, isn't it?
I like the artwork.
Oh, there's loads of... Actually, you know what? This might be same but different in that. These seem to be very, very varied in terms of the... Like some of them are picture puzzles.
There's big ones as well.
Yeah.
There's small ones and big ones.
Mind Trap. If Art Bragg's peacock laid an egg on Bertha Dribble's driveway in Chicago, Illinois...
I would send the police round.
During the 1930s, who would be the rightful owner of the egg?
What?
That's the question.
Read it again.
If Art Bragg's peacock laid an egg on Bertha Dribble's driveway in Chicago, Illinois during the 1930s, who would be the rightful owner of the egg? This seems like it's a very specific case that they're pointing out.
It's a,
and we're meant to guess what the legal outcome is.
I think it's a trick question.
Why
isn't it? Because if you know what they are, then there's something.
The
that
peacocks
leads...
not lead lay eggs or something? Is it
something
one of those,
like something? That? I mean, what they do. They sound like cartoon characters.
If
though.
Art Bragg, I don't know who Art Bragg is. Peacock laid an egg on Bertha Dribble's driveway. Is Bertha Dribble like a club somewhere in Chicago?
I have no idea.
Is it like...
I really want to know the answer to this.
Is it like a cocktail euphemism, a name for a cocktail?
Do you see what I mean? There's a trick. There's a trick to it.
What's
I'm not
going
getting.
On? What's going on? Why are you trying to fuck with me, game?
Well, let's hear the answer, Paul. Come on.
Peacocks cannot lay eggs. The ability belongs to the peahen.
What?
Peacocks cannot lay eggs. In many parts of Europe and America, peacock feathers are associated with bad luck. This is unrelated. Most ill opinions about peacocks come from the idea that its brilliantly iridescent tail feathers carry an evil eye. It is a Muslim belief. Muslim? M-O-S-L-E-M belief.
An alternative spelling of Muslim.
That the peacock opening the gate of the paradise to the devil, making it a bird never to be
what
trusted.
What is going on?
What is going
what
on
fuck
with
is
this
going
card?
On with this card?
Who's Art Bragg? Who's
Who
Bertha
the fuck
Dribble?
Is Bertha Dribble?
Does it matter that they're called these names if the
feel
peacock
like I'm
can't?
Gone to sleep.
I feel like I've been gaslit by a game.
Right, do you want one for me?
Yeah.
That was not very illuminating.
Go on.
Okay, sorry.
Go on.
I should have brought my glasses.
Oh, you haven't got your goggle box. Have you got your speckies? Come on, love. Granddad gets here with me glasses. Oh, where's me glasses?
Don't
I can't read me
back.
Books. Only take me glasses away from me so I can't read me stories.
Oh, I don't know if
I just
them.
Want to read the Penguin Adventures and they take me glasses off.
Are you ready for
and,
the question?
Mr. Nursey, he smashed him on ground.
Mr. Nursey.
He smashed him on ground.
That's the real breakout character, Mr. Nursey.
He smashed him on the ground and laughed at me and said, you're not reading any more stories. And I had a little cry. I remember about my wife, Bertha. She was light of my life, but she passed away in the 80s.
All right, Granddad, can you finish your tea?
Anyway.
Go and finish your tea.
I'll go sleep down in the corner. Anyway, yeah.
And let's have Paul back
here. The doodle books are flying over.
Let's have Paul.
Come on.
From statistical records, what is the most dangerous job in America?
Statistical records. Oh,
this is brain cramp.
I think I might know this. I might be wrong, but I think I might know this. Is it cheerleader? Is it like if you're a cheerleader in a sports team, they had the most injuries or something like that?
That's not the answer I have on the card, Paul.
Oh.
Do you want to hear the answer?
Yes.
On the card?
Yeah,
you're not going to like it.
I'm not going to like it, though. No.
President.
Why?
Four presidents out of 42 have been assassinated. Abraham Lincoln, James Garfield, William McKinley, and John F. Is it F? JFK. John
JFK,
F. Kennedy.
Yeah. Oh, well, that's... that.
So as a statistical percentage...
Really? More than, like, a stunt person?
Yeah, how many, because there must be thousands and thousands of stunt people.
Or lightning-mast...
That's not a real job.
...dancer. Or
that's not a real job.
I guess lethal is different from injuries. I was thinking like injuries being
dangerous.
Yeah,
no, it's saying the actual, like, most lethal.
What orchestra device is not blown?
It doesn't say most lethal, it says most dangerous. So
yeah,
you know,
it's nebulous.
They're not brilliant, the writing.
But they do it on purpose so you can't clearly see what the answer
right.
is. It's like this one. What orchestral device is not blown, bowed, plucked or struck? And I would disagree that
A conductor's...
Yeah, baton is baton, correct answer. Yeah. Well, I would say that's incorrect because they do the whole...
They tap at
and
the beginning.
And then they do the thing. So
Did they tap at the beginning?
Yeah, tip, tap, tip, attention.
This just makes me think
attention.
Of that fucking call-in with Dave Lee Travis and the baton. What was it?
He said name and the thing and the thing and the guy said baton or something. I don't know what the fuck it was.
What instrument does a conductor play? Was that it?
Why are these ones so big, though? That's why I don't understand why we have these great big cards.
They're the big ones. Read me a big one.
All right, I'll read you a big one. Let me give
I'm
you
struggling.
A, the options.
Bring me and...
I'm trying to find a shorter one.
Read me and Moo Cow Creamy over here.
All right, I'll do the old one about the old lady. Here we go. This is quite long. Don't look so surprised, said Grandma Slug. Fucking hell with these names. It's true I lost my hearing, but I can read lips, so ask me whatever you wish. Well, said Shadow. Don't know who Shadow is. Maybe
it's just
he's
the name. It's
a character.
Bertha, whatever.
I'd like to hear your account of your husband's death. Well, it was a breezy day like today in Grandpa... and me went out on the lake for a sail. The dusk arrived, anchored for the night. I was lying in the aft cabin reading when Grandpa said he was going on the deck for a smoke. He always joked that sailors died with their pants down, but for all the wrong reasons. You know, a few drinks here and there, an unexpected wave, and then splash, overboard. Just then the groundskeeper started the lawnmower, causing Grandma to shout, they better go inside. As I was saying, oh, this is an aside to the story that they're telling, so ignore that bit, it doesn't mean anything. It's just a bit of colour for the story.
Okay.
Grandma then went on to say, as I was saying, when I went up to the deck, he was face down in the water, his pants round his ankles. Being deaf, I couldn't hear his cries for help. What, you're lying to me, Grandma Slug, said Shadow. What about, says
about,
Grandma.
Yeah.
And then what do you think she was lying about?
Something about being in the aft deck or...
Oh, no. Apparently the bit I said to ignore is actually quite pertinent. But it was just the way it was written, because like,
can
it's
we
meant
have
to be
it again?
Like...
Yeah.
I'm not reading the whole thing again.
It's something about the lawnmower because it's deafening.
Yeah, so right. She's talking and then it goes, and then just then the groundskeeper started the lawnmower, causing Grandma to shout that they'd better go inside. As I was saying, when I went up on the deck, he was face down in the water, pants around his ankles. Being deaf, I couldn't hear his cries for help. You're lying to me, Grandma Slug. About what?
Because she said she can read lips at the beginning and that she's deaf. But she wouldn't have been, if she was deaf, she wouldn't have heard the lawnmower, right?
That's what it says.
Yeah.
If Grandma Slug was deaf, as she claimed, she would not have known to raise her voice above the sound of the unseen lawnmower.
So therefore, she isn't deaf and probably heard him cry.
Yeah.
Or something. That's a terrible
thing.
Well,
I was thinking when he said he was on the boat and he shouted to her going out and she heard him. It's like, well, no, she would have to have been face to face, right? Because he was outside when he said it.
Yeah, I thought it was something like that as well. Can we have one more card? Oh, one more small card. One more small card, please, for me. One more general knowledge or something.
In the nursery rhyme Sing a Song of Sixpence, how many bluebirds were baked in a pie?
24, which is 24.
You are wrong. There were none. They were blackbirds baked into a pie.
Oh, you fucker!
Sing a song of sixpence, a pocket full of rye. 24 blackbirds baked into a pie.
Do you know that the rye, pocket full of rye...
How much is this?
That could be... Do you know that LSD comes from ergot, which grows on rye?
Yeah.
So that could be about drugs, couldn't it?
Could be trippy, man.
Like special drugs.
You guess first on Mind Trap 2. How much do you think it is, boff, boff?
No, I don't guess first on Mind Trap 2.
You do, because I guess second in the first round, so it's now back to you.
All right.
I'm going to now label these so we're easy.
Well, it's nice condition.
Yeah.
It all seems to be there. It's got the board. Everything's ready.
Yeah.
It's just sort of badly written in a way, don't you
think? Yeah, badly written.
I don't know.
It was all right for what it was. Yeah, I was not too happy. How much?
$5.
I was going to say $5 as well.
Well, you can copy me.
I guess we can.
I mean, you should be copying me because I'm on a hot streak, baby.
Yeah, but, you know, all empires must fall.
Well, I don't...
I think maybe the Silverman Empire is about to topple.
I don't know. I feel like I'm going to win again this week.
You don't know. The Ganon cults might drive you out.
Without anyone cheating.
Right, here's the next... Oh, this has been 10 minutes. Hang on. Here's the next item.
Okay.
I actually want to save one of these till last because I think you'd like it best, so I'm going to save that one for last.
Already he's messing. Look at this. He's messing with the rules, everybody. I'm just pointing out...
What's this?
He's changing the item.
What's this,
order.
Mr. Silverman?
Exclusively Washington Trivia by Anthony S. Pitch.
It's a book.
Of exclusively Washington. Is that Washington as in the president or the state?
Find out.
Let's look on the back,
shall we?
Jump on the bandwagon and be a Washington quiz whiz. Pit your wits against...
Is there a bandwagon to jump on when it comes to being a quiz whiz
of
Washington?
Well, he's referring to a bandwagon. Who are we to doubt, Mr. Pitch?
That's true. Who am I?
Jump on the bandwagon and be a Washington quiz whiz. Pit your wits against these one-liners.
Oh.
History, politics, scandal, sports, and much more.
Minutiae.
Watch out, mate.
You couldn't make that work, could you? You tried, but you couldn't make that work.
Don't mind if I do,
minutiae.
Check your skills as you flip the pages for answers. Try these for starters.
All right.
Which three presidents died on the 4th of July?
Garfield.
What did Bob Hope have in common with Spyro Agnew? I don't know who that is.
They both had the exact same flavour of cum.
Why was the Project Mercury 4-cent stamp produced in such secrecy?
Because they don't like the band Queen.
Which president dreamed of his assassination a week before it happened?
Teddy Theodore Roosevelt.
No, that's the one.
Oh, Abraham Lincoln?
Yeah.
Oh, okay, yeah.
I think that is Lincoln.
Oh.
Anyway.
Look up the scandals. There's a segment on scandals. Let's do that one. That's the juicy shit.
Is there really?
He said on the back, categories including scandals and stuff.
Well, I'm just...
Come on.
Just go straight in.
Are they all mixed up then? It's not like they're all set up in categories.
No. Just
bullshit.
Go straight to the questions.
Bullshit.
Do you want to hear the first question in the book?
Yeah.
Who was the model for the statue of a soldier on the facade of the American Legion building at 1608 K Street, Northwest?
Carrot Top.
Well, very well done.
I think it
I don't need to look
top.
That up because I know
no,
that.
No, it's the right answer.
I know that, yes.
You look it up, I bet it says Carrot Top.
How many times did George Bush fail to get elected to the US Senate?
Once. Do you have the answers? Do you know where they are?
They're on the next page.
You're just going to read out questions and leave me hanging.
Twice.
How many? What was the other answer?
Who was the model for the Statue of the Soldier?
Carrot Top.
Hulon Whittington.
Whose real name is Carrot Top. Let me read one out to you.
Come on.
This is games.
We might as well go back to Mind Trap. It's more fun than this. This sucks.
Right, hang on. You're right, it's just all fucking random bollocks. Right, here we go. According to protocol, how do ambassadors rank one another?
They go to the sheds and then they stand in the dark.
Length of service.
I'll give you a length of my service.
How did John Philip Sousa come to compose the Washington Post March?
He was asked by someone to do it.
Yeah, that's the answer. He was asked by the newspaper. Fucking stupid. Who is Uncle Beasley?
Don't ask.
Now, he's apparently a 22-foot long fiberglass reproduction of a prehistoric triceratops outside the Museum of Natural History.
Cool. I like that. Uncle Beasley.
Yeah.
I like that when Dinosaur models get names. Like those wooden animals that used to be in Brent Cross, Paul.
Oh, fuck
I should have had fucking names for them. Mr. Smelly Bum.
No, that's not the official
that's
name,
what the
is
horse
it?
Was called.
Oh, here's one.
Arse Cavity Cave Bum Horse Brent Cross.
In the early 20th century, Washington, they were called hurdy-gurdy men. But what were hurdy-gurdy men?
That's that Donovan song, Hurdy-Gurdy Man.
Yeah.
Musicians.
Oof, I can't quite give it you.
Accordion players.
I can't quite give it you.
Accordion players.
Can't quite give it to you. Can't quite give it to you. You got to think. No, just think.
Organ grinders.
Oh, yeah, but what is it?
Organists.
No, organ grinders, but what else? What's the little bit of salt bay on the top? Swish, bosh, bish that you put on top of that statement.
Portable organ, street organ.
Swish, bish, bish, bish,
one-man organ bands.
I'll give you a clue.
Monkey, organ monkey.
Monkey with a monkey. They have to have a monkey with them.
What do we call those in Britain?
BBC celebrities.
Organ monkey men or something.
I don't know.
Organ grinders.
I don't think we really had
I think
them.
We called them organ grinders.
I don't think it was a UK thing to have a monkey with an organ grinder.
It definitely
in this
was, because there was a pub up in Archway.
Is
monkey
there?
In the barrel, organ or whatever.
The monkey's organ. What? The monkey's big barrel in an organ. What
it's
is
called
it?
Monkey gland slice and the organ feeders.
Monkey scat chug palace. Is that what you want to call it?
Well, you used to be the policeman about this mouth nonsense, and now you gaily join with all this chodney and boroff.
Right, how much then? I get to guess
item.
First.
Yeah, you get to guess first.
I'm going
to
give this the Washington wager.
Yeah. And it's about Washington, so...
No, which is quite apt.
That would be apt if it
were
true.
It would be if it's correct.
I'm going to say 50 cents.
50 cents.
50 cents.
50 cents. I'm going to do that, and then the 50. Here we go.
50 cents.
Right, next item.
It's another little bit of objet d'art for Eli to unwrap.
Oh, here we go. All right. Oh, it looks...
Now, he was always won over by the Moo Moo Cow Creamer thing.
The Moo Cow Creamer, very good.
Creamer.
This is bubble wrapped again. Similar shape, but it looks to be
Hello,
figurine.
Love. You want to see my Moo Cow Creamer? Pull the other one.
Oh, it's got a nice felt on the bottom
and
a sticker on the bottom.
I'm doing gags,
it looks
mate.
To be a Bakelite figure of some sort or something like that.
Right.
Or Bakelite or...
Hot from the US of A.
Some other fibre.
Is it an angel?
I can see
is it?
It is
no, it's a
man.
Yeah.
And he is cross-legged, crossed arms with a ghastly look of approbation on his face. And he's looking up and above him is a bluebird, not one that wasn't in a pie. He's looking at the bird as if he's scared that the bird is going to shit on his head, Paul. And there's on the plinth that this whole scene stands, he's against a tree and the bird's on
approbation. It's approval or praise. That's what it says there.
Well, I was
approval
wrong,
or praise.
Right, I meant...
I just want to make sure I've got this right.
Approbation.
Yeah, no, you've absolutely used the wrong word in that sentence. I would ask
you... Well, what is the word? A look of apprehension.
I can't even see his face.
Apprehension.
Show me his face. I want to see his face.
It's apprehension.
Oh, yeah, like he's going to get pooed on.
That's what...
Oh, that's what it says.
Yes, I was getting to that.
All right, go on then.
I misused the word approbation, and thanks
it
for
threw
picking...
me off.
Okay.
And I think, for me... Correcting you brings a lot of joy to me in this podcast.
I'm fine with it.
I just want to do that
on
public record.
Because I believe language is about communication, not who knows the best words. Anyway, I was wrong about approbation.
Yeah, well.
Very wrong. Totally wrong.
Now I wonder about how many other words I've let slip in the past. I'm going to go over every fucking episode of this podcast.
I wish you would.
And draw you up on every single fucking wrong...
I wish you would,
lexicanical... Accident you make. Lexiconical accident.
That's a leader of the Labour Party in the 80s.
Le Fan Wee Minouche is what we got going on.
Lexiconic.
Yeah,
Neil Lexiconical.
Lexiconical.
Anyway, fucking hell, it's getting hot in here, isn't it?
Yeah,
not
it
in
is.
The good way either,
no,
in a sort of sweaty, exhausting
I've
way.
I've got a nice like blanket of heat on my back, which
wet
is
heat.
Making me...
It's
yeah.
a wet heat that does it. Now, he's looking at the bird with a look of apprehension as if the bird may poop on his head.
Yeah.
Why he can't just move... is beyond me, but he's he's sitting down, I guess,
yeah.
against a tree, and it says on the plinth on which this whole scene stands, Paul.
Yeah, we haven't mentioned the bird, have you?
Yeah, blue
it's painted blue. With
it's
the
a
rest
blue
of
bird.
It's
I said it's a blue
plain.
Bird that doesn't get baked in a pie.
Yeah,
from that question before,
it's all coming
I'm doing,
together.
I'm doing callback.
Yeah, no,
work
it's
here.
Good.
Okay, now
except they were blackbirds.
That's what I'm saying. It
yeah,
wasn't
but you
baked
got that wrong.
Pie.
Another thing
I
you got wrong this week as well.
Fucking hell, shut up.
Wrong. And you're going to crash and burn this week, I'm sure,
I'm
as well.
I'm not. I don't think
I'm
I will.
I'm going to be here to lick the flames.
The plinth reads, go ahead... everyone else does.
Oh, everyone else shits on me. Why would you want to have that in your house?
It's a passive-aggressive fucking ornament,
isn't
it?
Why would you want that in your house?
Just to say, oh, you kids fucking cunts always shitting on me.
But here's what I'm guessing.
And my husband.
Here's what I'm taking away from this,
wife.
Right? One is, why would you ever want that on display in the home or your office to state, oh, I'm a put-upon person and I realise that fact and here is a piece of fucking objet d'art to show that? Second of all, the fact that the man won't move shares more about the psychology of the man and the owner to say, oh, I'm just not going to bother making an effort. I'm just going to let people shit on me and then complain
then
about it.
Then I can get to complain.
Then I get to complain
so
about it.
So they want
it.
That power.
This guy's a cunt.
Yes.
This fucking also, cunt under a cunt tree. Look, and I hope that bird does shit on him.
Paul, there must be something, might be something else going on here.
Why?
Underneath. His mouth seems to be open in
anticipation.
In anticipation. Another A
in
word.
In approbation. Approbation.
Perhaps he is approbation.
About
he's like, yes,
loaded.
He is approbation. I was right.
No.
Go ahead, he's saying approval. Oh, my God, I was right.
You weren't right.
Oh, my God.
You weren't right.
I was actually right. And
you
all that
weren't.
Whole thing.
You weren't
he's
right.
Actually saying, go ahead.
I've,
as in, I approve of what
I'm
you do.
I'm the one who's
it
managed to
handle
that.
It is actually true.
It's not,
oh
though.
Oh, my God.
It's not
oh
true.
My God.
This is so.
You heard it, everyone. You heard it.
No, they did. You're right. And they also know you're not correct.
You heard it. Well, let them be the
you
judge.
You literally
on this.
Had to add the fantasy of a bird shitting in his mouth to make your word work.
No, because on the plinth it says go ahead, which is approbation. Because
it's
is,
not.
He's saying,
it's
please, I approve.
It's resignation.
I approve.
It is resignation. As the same thing I would like to do on this podcast. Resign from it.
Now, I quite like this.
Of course
I like the
you
level
do.
Of detail. The eyes are in there. And it's just nice level of detail on the tree, the bark. And have you seen this, Paul? Even on the trunk of this tree, it says KP heart QR.
Right.
Like two lovers have
yeah.
put a little love heart with an arrow through.
We'll never know who
trunk.
They are.
I bet that has something to do with the makers.
Maybe.
I like that little detail.
Let's have a little look at it. Oh, can I have a little look? Because you've just been holding it too much.
Can you read what it says on the bottle
for me?
It also
looks like a bit of a man's cock shaft as well.
I like this
down.
Item and want to keep it in my home.
It says on the bottom, Russ Boutique and Co. Certainly someone's name. 1966, 69, 1970. Unbreakable. Made in the USA. Wallace Berry and Co. Inc., it says.
Wow.
Now, I mean, I don't know if it is unbreakable. I reckon I can
it
snap those
looks
wings
pretty
off.
Tough. But look, it's from this.
It's grotty, isn't it?
I reckon it's from 1980.
Yeah, well,
it's
no,
in good condition.
It says here 66, 69, 70. So it's in early 70s, I would say, at least.
Wow.
How much do you think
I
this is?
I actually really like that. That is very kitschy.
It is very kitsch.
Very kitsch of that era
yeah.
as well.
Also, pictures of all the items that we're talking about will be on our website and on Instagram. So go to thecheapshow.co.uk for your one-stop shop for everything.
I have to say,
Andy,
I do love both these items, the Moo Cow Creamer. And the little go ahead, everyone else does shit on me thing. They really have some charm for me, a kitsch, campy charm, both of these items.
Yeah.
Plastic.
But how much do you think it is, though, mate?
It's not me to
how
guess
much?
This first.
It is.
Is it?
Yes. Because I guessed the Quid's Gambit one last, didn't I? So it's your turn now, and I guessed the final one last first.
What are my prices so far?
Okay, so far you said $3.95 for the Moo Cow. Wager, washing wager for the platter CD.
$4.95 total.
$5 for the board game and 50 cents for the book. So you've got what to play? Like at least maybe $6, something like that.
I'm going to say $3 for this. On the nose
and
for
we've
this.
Got one more item left.
Oh, we do have one item
yeah,
left.
Yeah, we've got one more. We can go through it very quickly and readjust.
No, I'll stick with three on that. What are you going to say for this? For the figurine? The poo-poo figurine?
I'm going to say $2 again. As we head into our final item. I think I've saved the last item till last because I think this will tickle us both. It's not exactly funny or amazing, but I just think it's one of those things that brings us joy.
Oh, it's a Hot Wheels thing. Yay,
you changed
I grabbed
your fucking
it quite,
tune then, didn't you?
I grabbed it.
Scratchy little cockhead.
Oh, it's part of their... Oh,
it's like just a Micro Machines range kind of things, isn't it?
It's an action pack, it says on the Mint on Card back card. JPL Sojourner Mars Rover. Now, I've got a smaller Mars Rover.
That
Hot
man
Wheels.
In the video had a fucking Mars Rover as well, didn't he? Because he put a Mars bar on his cock and got Rover to eat it off. Yes.
We're hoping it was that and not something much worse.
Yeah, it might have been Snickers. That's got nuts on. Dogs can't have nuts. Well, not those
They can't
nuts.
Have chocolate.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, they can have peanut butter because that's what you sometimes have to spread on your cock, don't you, to get a dog to take interest, I've heard.
Yeah, but you can feed them a bit of chocolate. You just have to look at the graph. of how big the dog is and how much chocolate is.
That's too much work. Just get the peanut butter in. Does the same job.
This is a three-piece toy.
It is.
It's the Sojourner Mars Rovers. You've got the rover itself with the wheels and then these other bits that are...
Does it say on the back?
Yes.
Good.
The lander, the Mars Pathfinder, and the Sojourner Mars... There's three different...
What's the last one? So you mumble that with your stupid fucking mouth?
The Sojourner Mars Rover.
Thank you. Good.
This is nice. Can I
have a look up close?
Yeah.
Yeah, no, it's nice. It's very similar to the Micro Machine Rangers of...
Oh, really?
Just because they're very small versions of huge vehicles.
No, that's not a huge, small version of a huge vehicle.
Oh, I guess they're not, actually. They're just...
They're in scale. The Mars Rover's about, like, this big, mate.
No, I know, but, like, it looked to me like all the other cars would be, like a Micro Machines-y kind of size. This was Hot Wheels version of that.
If you think about it, that's actually a bigger model, because think of that, the Central, the Sojourner.
Yeah.
That's, like, the same size as a normal...
A van.
Yeah, as a Hot Wheels van or something.
Oh, look. And they come
but up, in real life, like I'm saying, that the actual object it's based on is only about this big. It's much smaller than a car.
There's play action as well. You can take the lid off one of them and fold the little wings up on that.
Oh, you can open it.
It says, no, I'm not going to open it. It says here, the rover mission to Mars, the Mars Pathfinder spaceship is scheduled to land, cushioned by giant airbags on Mars on the 4th of July, 1997.
Wow.
After a seven-month voyage through space, the Sojourner Mars rover, both with TMs on the back of them, will drive out to explore the Martian terrain and transmit data and pictures back to Earth.
Is it one of the ones that ended up failing, or one of the ones that sent
what happened to it?
Yeah, because the name doesn't really ring a bell.
Oh, right, okay. According to Mr. Wikipedia, it was a roving probe sent to Mars in 1997. It consisted of a lander, renamed the Carl Sagan Memorial Station, and a lightweight 10.6 kilogram or 23-pound wheeled robotic Mars rover.
It's much smaller than a car.
More rover called the Sojourner, the first rover to operate outside the Earth-Moon system.
Wow.
The mission was terminated in 1998.
Next year, yeah.
Yeah.
Broke down.
It had its last contact. Does it say what happened exactly? Yeah, it goes into the detail of the whole space racey kind of thing. But it was remarkable for its extreme low cost relative to other robotic missions to Mars. And it was more of a proof of concept for what was to come after.
Yeah, because you do get very similar rover-type vehicles through the decades following, don't you?
The opening title sequence of the television series Star Trek Enterprise featured footage of the Sojourner on the Martian surface, intermixed with other humankind's evolution of air and flight.
Yeah.
In the 2000 film...
Like the Wright brothers, is that in there?
Yes. In the 2000 film, the Red Planet astronauts stranded on Mars see the Pathfinder and use it to communicate to their spaceship. And in the film The Martian, the 2011
novel,
it's also mentioned in there. You get stranded on it.
That's cool.
So there you go. So that's that little toy. But the question is, how much is this? This has got to be costly, right? I'm not sure. I go first here.
Yeah.
I'm going to swap these around a little bit.
Yeah.
But I'll do that in the next little break. I'm going to say for now $4 for this.
I will say $5.
$5.
I'm going to say $4.95.
That's a really strange number. Do you want to pick one of those?
$4.95.
$4.95. Dollary-do.
Dollary-do.
Right, let's go for a quick roundup. Right, do you want to go through these prices again? So far, you've done $3.95.
Mm-hmm.
Add $1 for the wager. Add $5.
I want to take a dollar off.
Wait, let's go through this first and then get your final amount and then you can adjust.
Okay.
So it's clear for the listener.
Okay.
So $3.95, then a dollar, then $5. So that comes to what?
$9.95.
And then you've got $4.95 for the Hot Wheels thing. So that takes it to just under $15, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got 50 cents.
$14.80.
For the book. And then the statue was $3. So what do you want to amend there?
I want to take a dollar off the first item.
The Coop Moo Moo.
And say that was $2.95.
Okay, so $2.95.
Going down the list, what else have we got?
Platters, you said, was the wager one. That's the dollar.
Yeah, I'm going to stick on that.
The Mind Trap game, you said, was $5.
I'm going to say $3.50 for the Mind Trap game.
$3.50.
Yeah, and now I'm done.
And then Hot Wheels, you're still fine with $4.95, 50 cents for the book, and $3. So I've got $3 for the mug, $2 for the platters, $5 for Mind Trap, which I'm going to bring down to $3. I'm going to bring all the way down.
Just keep
to three.
It above board, please.
$3. I'm writing
really
three,
looking for a win here,
which
I've
makes
been
me
dominating.
$6, $7, $8. Then Hot Wheels, $4, $8, $9, $10. That's $12. Dollar wager thing for the book, which is $13. And then 15.
You're 15 on the nose there.
For the statue, which I said was two. Which
you
I'll,
said between 10 and 15. Yeah. But you're 50, so you're at the top end of the window.
On. So it doesn't need to be spot on. I just need some of them to be right. Doesn't really matter, does it?
I mean, it doesn't. Nothing really matters. I mean,
nothing. No, nothing matters.
I know.
This doesn't matter.
I know it doesn't matter.
The importance we put on this is absolutely pointless.
Yeah.
But we do it because we offer joy and love and
love.
Good times.
And it's pointless for another reason.
Yeah.
Because we don't call them points, we call them patwings.
Patwings, exactly. So everything is pointless on Cheap Show, often to a fault. Right, shall I get the points off Grumpy?
Again, he's not called Grumpy. He's called Mulchy. And again, I'm ready to receive major patwanage here.
Right, I'm just going to go ask him for us. Mulchy, Mulchy, if you may, pass the answers down today.
Gribble, gobble.
Oh, a big tendril's coming down.
Oh, gribble, gobble.
Kind of viney, leafy tendrils coming down.
Oh, it's all... There's a sort of visceral smell of earth in the air suddenly.
Mulch.
Mulchy.
Oh, I've got it.
Oh.
Right.
Well, got the answers, and they're not too damaged from Mulchy's wetness.
No. The dampness has seeped through a little bit, but it's still very much, you know, ready to go.
Right, yeah, he's unsealing the answers. I can see him doing it.
Would you like to read the answers?
Yes,
so
I think it's only fair, Paul, that
right.
I do.
Okay.
So you can't cheat on them.
Right, here we go. Eli's in charge of reading it out, and I will tick it off the board.
You'll be awarding the batwanges.
I am. Go on.
Moo Cow Creamer.
Is Eli's empire going to burn down? Let's find out right now.
What did you say for the Moo Cow Creamer, Paul?
I said £3 exactement.
Dollars.
$3 exactement.
And what did I say?
$2.95.
It is $3.
Oh! And you get a betwing as
I
well,
get a
though.
Betwing there.
So that's one, two,
but you've gone into the lead
one.
On the first item.
So, good start for Gannon. Eli, I can smell the smoke of Eli's empire. Just
no.
A little bit of whiff.
Well, no. Ooh, well it's been extinguished.
Is the kindling been...
Well, I hate to say, but it's been extinguished immediately.
Why?
By me getting...
What?
Washington's Wager, Platter's Greatest Hits, $1.
Is it? Oh, that's four.
It's over for you. It's over for you. The hope has faded. I go into the lead on the second. Now, what have I got? Four for that, yeah?
I've got two. So altogether,
no,
you
I've
have
got five.
Five, yeah, I've written that down. Five.
And you have?
Two.
5-2 is
all
the
right,
score
okay.
Going
next into- one, Mind Trap. I said £3, you said £3.50.
No points for either of us. It was... $4.
Oh, it's what my... Oh, no, it was $5 originally. Yeah. Oh, that's a shame. All right, next one then is what?
I've got on this list, it's the Hot Wheels Sojourner.
It is how it is on there. I just wanted to save it till last. I said $4, you said $4.95.
It is $3.
Oh, shit.
Neither of us.
Oh, well, that's better price than I thought it was going to be. Right.
Now this is when the empire is so strengthened.
Right,
what's next? Washington Trivia Book, yeah?
Yeah, and I said the dollar on that and you said 50 cents.
Oh, it's 50 cents.
Is it?
Yes. 50
two.
Cents.
Fair enough.
Oh, that puts me on 7-2.
It does, yeah.
Oh, God, I just can't stop scoring major twanage.
What about...
I got the munchies.
What about the statue? I said £2 for the statue. You said $3. How much was it?
It was $1.
Oh, no one gets it then. So Eli wins 7-2. That's all right, that. You did well with the platters. It was either going to be the CD or the book.
Well, there were two
it?
$1 items, which is a bit sneaky, isn't it?
Well, then I want four
no,
points.
No, you don't get
two,
4 points.
Three, four. That's 6 to me, 7 to Eli.
No, it was 7-2, everybody. So
very close, right
there's
down to
the there's a little
line.
Message on the bottom of this from Andy.
Yeah.
That was a good game. The total was $12.50, so exactly in between.
Yeah,
in
fair enough. I guess he was very literate on that
oh,
point.
Oh, mate, it feels so good.
Yeah.
I am on the hottest streak. I knew it as
it's
well,
it's a shame
didn't
you
I?
Cheated, though, isn't it?
I didn't cheat.
Because you saw the answers before I put
didn't
them up
cheat.
There.
Paul,
so.
Stop.
It's
you
a bit
can't
of a shame.
Even make believe, even when we just had a big rant about how pointless it is, you can't accept it. I'm owning you on the Price
that's
of Shite.
That's fine, but you know what? The thing
recent
is-
games of the Price of Shite, no one can deny it. I'm absolutely, I'm coming into my own. I mean, it's like a you
I've
know.
I've been paid off, mate, to throw a few matches.
You haven't.
I have.
Imagine we found that there was some.
Mafan we found. What did imagine Mafan we found?
Imagine
what?
We discovered.
Yeah.
That there was some kind of Far East gambling ring, and they were betting on the results of this, and they were paying you off.
Someone's getting their hand chopped off right now.
That would be funny, wouldn't it? So it says here, congrats to whoever won.
Eli won. Only just though. Just by 1 point.
Stop. Hopefully you didn't tell each other to fuck off more than 15 times. Have you actually told me specifically to fuck off today, Eddie?
Why don't you fuck off right now?
Fuck off. That's it. You've hit the point.
I've hit 15.
You've hit... And then we're going to get a check from those people in the Far East because they bet on that as well.
How many times someone's just lost his eyes.
Gouging.
You're literally price gouging. And that's Cheap Show over for another bloody week. Thank you to everyone who supports us on Patreon. Those who do get access to videos and podcasts and extra bits and night busing and all sorts of amazing extra doodads.
Bloody hell.
Patreon.com/Cheap Show is where you want to go if you'd like to donate, but only give what you can. Only if you can. Close enough. Close enough. The heat on my back from the window.
It's putting you off.
I can feel the wetness trickling down my back.
It's funny, Paul, because do you think that being hot affects your ability to speak clearly?
No, I'm just a mouth, a marble mouth twat.
A mouth twat,
I'm just a marble mouth gumblefub.
Yeah, but because I saw that John Rogers video and he was saying that the heat, he was out walking on a hot day, he kept getting words wrong.
He was saying
it was the heat doing his mind in.
I speak too fast because I'm afraid of you not letting me finish a sentence and get a word out, so therefore I fumble over my words. That's what happens. Right, so...
Thanks to the Patreon supporters.
I've just done that, thank you. That was the first thing I did. No.
Say something about...
Because you're insincere.
My beard's coming back.
You just go, give me the mani pull and tell them, fuck off. And then you start... That's how you fucking like...
Fuck off.
You literally, the minute we're done with it, you just put your hand down and go, give me a...
Actually, I've been supplementing it with this this Far East gambling ring.
Shocking.
They bet on all sorts of things on our show, mate.
I know. That's a bit worrying.
Between count, how many times we say fuck off.
Yeah. Character, when the character says
if a character turns up, and also if the character scores a goal, they get
I've heard there's
points.
A ring in Russia as well. Russia have a ring of people who bet
see
on
a pun
cheap
coming.
Show stuff. No, there's not. There's not. I'm just saying that's what I've heard. I don't know what you're waiting for. Nothing's happening. Nothing's coming off the back of that fact.
Okay, fine. Anything else you want to say before we go?
Wait. Yes, we're going to go and now listen to the album and give it the thumbs up, hopefully.
We'll listen to our test pressings.
And then everyone who has pre-ordered it will get it, hopefully, before August 22nd when we celebrate episode 450. And that's the plan. Also, we have got a live show in October in South London as part of the Cheerful Earful Podcast Festival. Saturday afternoon from 2. It's a 90-minute show and our guests are comedians Nick Helm and Ria Lina, two big names off the telly, everyone.
Hey.
And they somehow like working with us. And should I just give a few spoilers of what we're going to plan? Or should we keep it all a secret? Because there will be prizes. We're going to give away prizes. And we're going to do some old segments from way back in the day. So a lot of people have been asking when we're going to do Don't Get Mad. We're doing it at the live show.
Yes, but we're going to use a format that we've used in other places, and it's quite a popular little mini franchise within the show. And we're going to use that in the live show, aren't we, Paul?
That's another spoiler. No, I'm just going to tell them because I want people to come. This is our 10-year birthday celebration live show, effectively. So we're going to try and cover as much 10-year stuff as we can. But basically, we're going to do a live, interactive Ganon's Golden Quest.
So the Golden Quest...
The details we haven't figured out yet.
The Golden Quest, for anyone who doesn't know... are a series of podcasts we've done, which are walkabouts, where with the Games Master...
Quest Master.
And he's quest Master Timothy P.
Timothy P. Quest Master with his chocker.
Yes.
Yeah. And he'll be back.
And so will Salty Fresh One.
And then our guests will be doing some Ganon's Golden Games classic challenges. That's what we're going to be doing live, and some other surprises as well. Expect songs, expect videos, expect fun. Get your ticket now. Come and celebrate us 10 years at the Cheerful Earful Festival. Tickets on the Cheerful Earful Festival website. But also, you can find the link directly on our main page on thecheapshow.co.uk. And that's it now. That's it. That's
Bye.
It. We're all done now. Bye-bye, everyone.
Creamy moo cow. I'm actually doing her from behind.
Oh, I'm getting out of here, actually. Just looked out the window. Mr. Postie is just staring up.
Well, you're going to do the hand
like
modelling job
no,
for him.
I don't like it.
You can do hand modelling for him?
Why is he just staring at me?
Oh, why did you let him do that first session of hand modelling?
I needed the money, didn't I?
He's obsessed with your hands, that postie. I'm going to let him in.
No, don't you let him in.
He's paid me off.
No, don't you let him in. Right, ladies and gentlemen, we're over this week because I will not have Mr. Postie come in. Get out. No, not my hands.
Yeah, not, go through there.
No, not my hands. Get off my hands.
Show us your hands.
Oh, just a finger.
That is so
boom, 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 boom.
Oh,
not
fucking
worthy of a ball.
Oh, God, it failed. We failed again.
Cunts win.